time has come when I've decided that I need to do the episode where I compare a meat diet to a plant-based diet. I found this really challenging, actually, because there's nothing in me at all that wants to encourage people to eat meat, not even for health reasons. I saw a tweet today posted by Vegan FTA, great words from at Sol Eubanks, and saying, "I'm not vegan because I find animals cute and adorable. I'm vegan because animals are beings that deserve the basic right to not be abused, exploited, and killed for my pleasure or consumption." And that's what I absolutely believe. So I'm a vegan not for dietary, but for the feeling that I just can't eat animals. I don't feel that I have the right to. But I said that I would do this episode and sort of look into what is healthy, what's not healthy. So here we go. I have done loads of research, but it's so much research I can't get my head around it all. And I definitely encourage you to do your own research as well. And I am going to be biased. I'm going to be really honest. When I'm teaching lessons about ethical issues, I'm totally honest with my students and say, "I'm totally biased about this. Prove me wrong." And they all agree with me, which is so handy being a teacher. Nobody questions. Anyway, let's look at the first website that I've found in my search. So the sort of searches that I've put in, I have put in, you can see here on my Ecosia search, risks of following a vegan diet. I've also done similar with meat eating and stuff. So I'm going to just skip through a few of these websites that I've found information from. And I do, as a psychologist, I do like to look for evidence. I do like to look for research. Now, this abstract, well, the article is by Bali and Naik, or N-A-I-K, their last name. And this was actually published online in 2023. So it's reasonably new. It's reasonably current. And it is in the publication Curious, so C-U-R-E-U-S, for those of you that are listening and not watching on YouTube. Now, the abstract, and if you know anything about psychological research or research articles, the abstract sums everything up in 150 to 200 words. And so you can find what you want to find out in the abstract. And then if you want to go into further detail, you read the whole article. So this abstract is saying about vegetarianism, veganism has been increasing in popularity, and especially in the young population in the United States. Now, it says as well here that several studies show that a vegan diet decreases the risk of cardiometabolic diseases such as cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So that is really good. It decreases those risks. But it then goes on saying that veganism has been associated with adverse health outcomes, namely nervous, skeletal and immune system impairments, hematological disorders, as well as mental health problems due to the potential for micro and macronutrient deficits. Now, they are saying that the goal of their article is to discuss the current literature on the impact and long-term consequences of veganism on vulnerable populations, which includes children, teenagers, adolescents, pregnant and breastfeeding women, and fetal outcomes in strict vegan mothers. It focuses on the many deficiencies of the vegan diet, especially vitamin B12, and the related increased risk of malignancies. So there is loads of more detail in this article. There will be a link for this article in my show notes underneath if you want to have more of a look. This article does say that while studies have shown that a vegan diet may be associated with improved health outcomes, the negative health repercussions of these food preferences, on the other hand, are rarely highlighted, and veganism may be associated with negative health effects due to nutritional deficiencies. Now, absolutely, as a vegan for the animals, I don't like looking at the negatives of living this way and eating this way, because there is no way that I ever want to eat animal products again, as I said at the beginning of the podcast. So it's really good for me. It's really challenging, but really good for me to have a look at this. And it's about finding a way to be really healthy. And for me, for staying plant-based, staying veganism. So there's a lovely image here, pretty picture of foods, the image of diverse dietary elements constituting a balanced diet with proportion sizes. So you can see there's some olive oil, there is some fish there, eggs there as well, some lean meats, sausages, I didn't know they were lean, fruits, etc., etc. Now, clearly, this episode is not focusing on keto. That would be too much for me to get my head around with all this nutritional information that I've been bombarding myself with. I do recommend that you look at these kind of articles, the ones that are research-based, where there's been a lot of research on them, rather than the articles that anybody can post on any website. But that, funnily enough, is where I'm going now. So let's click along to the next one. So here we've got something from the Business Insider. Five potential drawbacks of following a vegan diet. Please don't give up on your vegan diet though. Stick with me, I will give you hope. Okay, so five potential drawbacks of following a vegan diet. As I said, this is from the businessinsider.com. And there's obviously lots of adverts in this. So, like any diet, veganism comes with benefits and drawbacks. And it says here, and though veganism can be a healthy, sustainable diet for some, it's important to learn about any potential risks associated with this popular eating pattern before choosing to adhere to it. Okay, here are some of the potential drawbacks. So, you can develop certain micronutrient deficiencies if you're not careful. So, that includes vitamin D, calcium, omega-3 fatty acids, and zinc. You also need to keep a close eye on your iron levels. Iron plays a crucial role in transporting oxygen through your body. And they say it can be difficult to get enough of it when following a vegan diet because of the way that it's metabolized in the body, the plant-based iron. You can see a bit more details of that there. Vegans, the next one, vegans are at risk of developing a vitamin B12 deficiency, which can have irreversible effects if left untreated. And getting enough protein can also be a challenge for some vegans, but there are plenty of plant-based proteins that can help. Chickpeas are a great source of plant-based protein. Again, not keto, but a good source of protein if you don't want to go to the processed things. And this site as well, this article, you've got 10 vegan foods that are packed with protein. You can click on that link. And a vegan diet isn't sustainable or practical for everyone. Absolutely. So let's then look at 10 benefits. So, and I've said about the benefits of a vegan diet over and over again in my previous podcast as well, sort of here and there, but never zoomed in on it. So this is from livestrong.com. Probably, well, it looks like you can see the tabs at the top. It says eat better, get fit, manage weight, live well, and there's other tabs as well. So, a plant-based diet, they say, is good for your gut. It supports your immune system, helps lower inflammation, it helps you maintain a healthy weight. Mind you, if you overeat on any diet, you're not going to maintain a healthy weight, you're going to get fat or heavier. It keeps your heart healthy, number five, which is great. Number six, it's linked to a reduced risk of cancer. Seven, it benefits your brain. Eight, you'll have more energy. Nine, it's linked to a lower risk of osteoporosis. And 10, it's tied to lower risk of kidney disease. If you want to find out any more about any of those, that's the second link underneath my show notes. Now, all these deficiencies that they've been saying that we will suffer from, and let's just go back to the top of that Business Insider. So, B12 deficiency. What vegan I don't know any vegan that doesn't take a B12 supplement. So I take a B12 supplement every single day. They're really affordable, they're little and tiny, and they're slow release. And I've never found any problems with my B12 levels. And so they say as well that if you're not careful following a vegan diet, so these other deficiencies, like vitamin D, I take vitamin D supplements because I like the sun, and there's not much over the winter in this country, in the UK. So I take vitamin D supplements for the sun issues, but also health. Omega-3 fatty acids, I get some every month. I get a new pot delivered through that Amazon auto select thing. They're a vegan company. It's a family-run business in Europe somewhere. They come to me every month. Some are arriving today, actually. So I take my vitamin D, I take my B12, I take my omega-3s. I've got zinc as well. I've got electrolytes. So I do take my supplements. And when I feel that I'm getting a cold, I'll take my vitamin C. And I know many, many non-vegans that take lots of supplements every day as well. So just because I'm taking supplements doesn't mean it's a negative thing, and that's what veganism has caused me to do. It's about being healthy, and for me, being moral, with animal and sentient life. Let's go to planted. So I've talked about planted before. It's not my favorite texture, artificial protein, but it's pretty good. And I want to show you. So this is the UK site, so uk.eatplanted.com. And they've got recipes here, they've got the story, the planted way, the mission, the production and science behind it, the team behind it, sustainability. And what's B2B? I'm not sure what that is. Recipes, I said that in shop. So let's have a look at all products. Let's look at the Planted Original. I just want to show you the ingredients to this. Now, some people are really upset about how processed this food is. Let's scroll along the images. So that's it cooked. It is really nice. I do like it better than chicken. And you can add anything to those flavors. So ingredients, let's have a look at this. I think this is incredible. This is the least amount of ingredients in any pretend chicken that I've ever seen. So you have got the biggest ingredient is water, then pea protein, that's 33%, pea fiber, rapeseed oil, salt, and vitamin B12. Wow. And nutritional value, how much protein has it got in it? 24 grams per 100. Vitamin B12, one, is that a microgram, which is 40%, and iron, 4.8 milligrams at 34%. So it's got iron in it too. So it's got fiber, it's good for fiber, it's 4.3 grams, and fat is low in fat, 3.4 grams as well. Carbs, excellent. Ketos out there, carbs are 1.8 grams per 100 grams. It's such a perfect keto vegan protein, such a perfect one. And they're selling it in Tesco's now as well. And of course, this isn't the only Planted Chicken Original. They've got loads. They've got the lemon and herb, they've got the kebab, pulled original, I quite like that as well. Planted pulled barbecue. They have got pulled spicy herbs, they've got the skewers, they've got Asian style planted duck. I mean, really give it a go. You can order direct from them, but they are in Tesco's as well, but not the full range in Tesco's. So let's carry on looking at the meat eating diet and the vegan diet. So these are the kind of sites that I like. The one from The Guardian, eating meat raises risk of heart disease, diabetes, and pneumonia. So I find these very encouraging, obviously, because I'm a vegan, but let's be serious here. There is more and more evidence now about how eating meats does increase a person's risk of developing heart disease. Evidence to suggest about diabetes, pneumonia, and other serious illnesses, research has found. It heightens the risk of being diagnosed with bowel cancer. But it does say that these findings are the first to assess whether meat consumption is linked to any of the 25 non-cancerous illnesses that most commonly lead to people being admitted to hospital in the UK. And it's Oxford University academics who have published this study. They're looking at consumption of red meat, processed meat, and poultry meat such as chicken and turkey at least 3 times a week, and they're saying they found that it was linked to a greater risk of 9 different illnesses. Now, this article came out in The Guardian on 2nd of March 2021, so that's 3 years ago. So do have a look at that. And there's quite a lot of detail written by The Guardian there. Another article that I found from www.ox.ac.uk. So that looks like Oxford University website. Is that correct? Let me just double check that. Yeah, the University of Oxford. Regular meat consumption linked with a wide range of common diseases. Oh, then we've got the article from the University of Oxford about that one that The Guardian was talking about. Okay, and then we've got something from Bustle, 11 Signs Meat is Messing with Your Body. I'm not going to scroll through that. I read that and I wasn't actually convinced because it wasn't that long ago that I was eating meat, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. It says bloating, nausea, diarrhea, getting sick more often, stomach cramps, high blood pressure, constipation, dark circles under the eyes, needing to drink water a lot, bad body odours and breath, fatigue, muscle loss. Now, that none of that happened to me. I just wonder whether that this is one of those sites that somebody just thought, right, I need to chuck something together. So, yeah, I don't think I'm even going to put the link to that. I'm going to delete that link now. Okay, so I said I'm trying to be balanced, and I am going to put this link down here. I'm not going to go through it because I've said quite a few things already that are relevant to this. This is quite anecdotal. It tells you what a vegan diet is. I think if you're listening to my podcast, I think you know what one is. Now, this is the thing. I just thought, okay, yeah, they do have a point here. So they start talking about anorexia nervosa as extreme dieting. And they say it's a mental illness whereby extreme dietary restrictions maintain dangerously low body weight. And I've had students with anorexia, and one of my podcasts, talking to Molly, who was one of my students, she was quite incredible. An eating disorder, number 10, my episode number 10, an eating disorder battle, how one girl survived anorexia. This article talks about anorexia and then goes into talking about veganism being an extreme diet. And I guess it is extreme because you're cutting out quite a lot of sources of food. But yeah, there we are. I'd never likened veganism to anorexia before. So here's another abstract from some research. This research is by Medawar, Hoon, Vilringer and Witt. There's a link to it underneath. It is called The Effects of Plant-Based Diets on the Body and the Brain, a Systematic Review. And the abstract's quite detailed there, and you can see that you've got the background, some pretty diagrams, some tables of results. I do like a table of results and some more tables of results there. Now, I haven't actually looked at this in detail, but I'm going to put a link to it underneath. So, but they are looking into the impacts of plant-based diets on cognitive functions, mental and neurological health, and respective underlying mechanisms. They're saying it's yet to be demonstrated, and their last bit of their abstract says, in sum, the increasing interest for a plant-based diet raises the opportunity for developing novel preventive and therapeutic strategies against obesity, eating disorders, and related comorbidities. Still, putative effects of plant-based diets on brain health and cognitive functions, as well as the underlying mechanisms, remain largely unexplored, and new studies need to address these questions. When was that article published? It was in 2019, so again, 5 years ago. I wonder if they have done further research. I didn't notice any. I don't have access to university articles there, which is devastating. Okay, I now do want to mention this article. This is called Meat Consumption, Which Are the Current Global Risks? A Review of Recent Evidences. And they did it in the decade 2010 to 2020. So we know that at the end of 2019, coronavirus started its raging around the world. And they do mention this a bit at the end. This was published online 29th of May 2020. Let's have a quick look at this. I'm just going to pull out some key points. They state that meat means an important source of nutrients, but it's evident that a great consumption of this source of proteins has also a negative environmental impact. They say that livestock production doesn't only just have a negative influence on GHG emissions, but also on the water footprint, water pollution, and water scarcity. They say with respect to human health, the International Agency for Research on Cancer stated that red meat was a probable carcinogen to humans, while consumption of processed meat was carcinogenic to humans. So red meat was a probable carcinogen, but processed meat is carcinogenic to humans. So basically, it can lead to cancers. They say that most environmental contaminants are frequently found in meats are highly soluble in fats. So therefore, avoiding eating fats from red meats and meat products would help the prevention of certain kinds of cancers, cardiovascular diseases, mainly colorectal cancer. And here's the interesting thing, isn't it? On the other hand, consumption of meat, especially wild meat, is related to virus infections, as many viruses have been found in wild meat trade markets. So this is where I'm kind of finishing, I guess. I haven't talked about lots of benefits today. I've talked much more about the risks of each. I am always going to encourage people to follow a plant-based diet. Okay, this has been quite a one, hasn't it? This has been a bit of an episode. So I hope you're still with me, whether you are or not, don't know. May have tuned out ages ago. If you haven't, congratulations, you deserve a sticker saying perseverance or grit, or I managed to persevere and stay till the end of Rachel's latest podcast, which she hasn't even named yet. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate your time, especially on this one. I hope you found it helpful. And don't forget all the links to every website that I've mentioned, apart from the one that I got rid of, are below. All the links are below. And if you do want to a substantial list of keto vegan foods and the carb counts, protein counts, etc., etc., then do contact me or click on the link below as well. I'll be with you next time.